Today we talk about the greatest city in the world. Tallahassee, like so many places, is made up of thousands of stories at a time, each person bearing claim to their own experience of the place in which they live. Today's conversation explores Tallahassee through one such story, the story of leaving and returning and the appreciation that is born out of that. Today, we talk art and culture through a lens of Tallahassee. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like every week, we've got an incredibly special guest. You know, I want to preface this episode by saying we don't just have an incredible guest. We have an incredible conversation, one that I think may be the most personal to me. We're going to talk about Tallahassee. Now, we're going to do that through the lens of art and culture and journey and what it means. And joining me today is Jason Himonidis. I appreciate you for coming, Jason.
Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So, Jason, you're perfect for this conversation, especially through the scope of art and culture, because you do it all. You're a singer, and you're a musician, and you're a filmmaker, and you're an actor, and you're a socialite, and you're an educator. You know, you just have a breadth of work underneath you that I think informs this conversation. What's going to guide this conversation is the journey that you've taken.
Yes.
So, you lived here, and then you left.
That's right.
Let's talk about the leaving for a second.
Okay. So I graduated from Lincoln High in 1991 and was already at that point kind of got the theater bug at Lincoln and wanted to study theater. Actually, initially, I was excited about the FSU Film School, which had just started in like 90, I believe, the undergraduate program at FSU. I did not get in. I did not have the grades to get in then, but I did get into the theater school and auditioned my very first semester and got kind of like a lead role in one of the MFA director projects. And then that was when the acting thing really, you know, took center stage and really seriously studied it throughout those 4 years till I graduated in 95. And then I went out to LA trying to be an actor for about a year. Ended up coming back because I got a gig with the Georgia Shakespeare Festival in Atlanta and moved to Atlanta for about 4.5 years, and then decided that I kind of wanted to get into college teaching, college instruction. One of my sort of mentors at Florida State, a wonderful gentleman named George Judy, who some folks may remember, he's now at LSU. He's been teaching there for a number of years, but he was a really inspiring guy. And I thought, you know what, I'd love to come back and study directing at Florida State. So I came back then 2001 to 2004 to do the MFA. And then I thought, okay, what's the next step for me? I thought maybe I would go back to Atlanta because I had built some connections there in the theater and film scene a bit. But while I was at Florida State for my graduate degree, I wrote a play through a pilot playwriting program that was developed by Mark Medoff, who was a wonderful playwright and screenwriter. Children of a Lesser God was his famous piece. Sure. And during that process, fell in love with dramatic writing. Anyways, long story short, ended up getting me to New York City, where I pursued directing, writing, etc., until finally my number came up and I got a full-time teaching position at a university in Western Pennsylvania called Indiana University of Pennsylvania, IUP. A lot of people get very confused by that, but it's in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is a small town about the size of Thomasville, Georgia. And so I was there for about 6 years and then met my missus. We moved to Baltimore for her job. It's a long story, but anyways, ended up coming back in 21 with her and my two young children.
Let's jump into something that I think is incredible. You also have art around this art, your film, One Tallahassee Son,
right,
which I just think is an incredible piece of art.
Well, thank
and it
you.
Did it debut at the Tallahassee Film
it
Festival?
It did.
Yeah.
And it's now on YouTube.
Sure.
On YouTube.
An incredible piece of work because it's personal. Mm-hmm. And I think that when art is personal, it gives itself to the highest endeavor of art.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so personal. And let's talk about that for a second. There's a line in the film where you said reemerging or coming back into Tallahassee kind of gave you the bends, as if you were rising, diving too fast.
Yes.
Talk to us about that a little bit. Why was that?
Well, my folks never left. So we moved here when I was 1 year old. This was 1975. And both my parents, my mom has now passed away 10 years ago, but my father's still with us. And they never left. So I was coming back, you know, fairly often. I think the longest I ever went without coming back to Tallahassee was maybe about a year, year and a half, something like that. So when there would be a break and I would not be in town, I'd be in New England, et cetera, and then I'd come back, it would give me the bends to see trees felled, new developments, you know, just sometimes, you know, because this is a forest. I mean, go walking in one of our beautiful trails. I mean, that's the natural state of Tallahassee.
Or fly over in a plane. It's literally a forest.
There you go. And so sometimes when you're driving and you see that something has really been, you know, a fresh development has happened, or, you know, trees have been, you know, I understand progress, et cetera, it can get you down. I don't know if you remember, so Magnolia and Park Avenue. So you know the Winn-Dixie right there?
Sure.
Right across the street for years, I guess there was a private bit of property with these beautiful tall pine trees, et cetera. I'm not sure who it belonged to. But I remember when I'd been gone for about a year, and then I drove down Magnolia and saw that had all been completely felled and was now replaced with, you know, wonderful establishments in a strip mall and all that stuff. But that really got me down. I mean, I just thought I had been so used to, my brain had really kind of, you know, oriented to that pine grove being there, and suddenly it was gone. So that was the kind of thing, the change that was happening so fast was a little bit shocking to me when I would come back. But now that I'm here, you know, it happens a little bit more incrementally. So like I say in the film, it's a little easier on my nervous system. It's still tough, you know, sometimes.
You know, let's ride that wave for a bit. In your film, and I'm going to quote you here, it says in 1988, well, this is you narrating, right? You say in 1988, my Taekwondo teacher ditched his usual class plan and took us outside and down Monroe Street to contemplate a swollen red clay gash of newly cleared land where there had been vibrant forest just hours before.
Right.
You said that you could tell that this gentleman was spiritually wounded because of this.
Yes.
And that he was trying to impart what he could to you all.
Yes.
And you think that he did, and it made him a good man in your eyes.
Yes.
Talk about that. Why do you think he was spiritually wounded? And that answer, whatever it is going to give me my next question.
Right. That was 1980.
Yes.
I was seven. You know, when you're a kid, you're used to pattern, routine, etc. I was going to Taekwondo. We would always, you know, go into the studio. We would begin our exercises. But this day, he was like, guys, we're going to take a walk. And I could just see there was something different, you know. And I think, you know, young people are tuned into our elders and kind of understanding what's going on. And when he walked us down and took us to that gash of land, I could see that this was troubling to him in some way. And he was trying to sort of throw this into our laps somehow. Like, what do you all think of this?
Sure.
You know, is this a you know, what do you make of this kind of thing? I don't remember him proselytizing to us necessarily, or sort of coming out as like, you know, this is a bad thing, but just sort of being aware that, you know, that forest that had been there since what, the beginning of time? I mean, it evolved over, you know, millennia. And suddenly, for the first time, it was gone. And so I think there was just something heavy about it, something weighty, profound. And I just got that, and it stayed with me, And still to this day, when I drive by that section, I have that memory. And I have memories, I'm sure you do too, us Tallahasseans, driving through, moving through anywhere in this city, you know, a story on every corner, as it were. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, what a beautiful answer. Second of all, I can't think off the top of my head any more unique force than Gamble Cosmos, your alter ego. Let's talk about that for a second. I'm holding the CDs in my hand here. You are just a proprietor of the social arts, and we love it. And so let's talk about how you make your way in this world.
Okay, well, I'm going to take us back to the Summer Swamp Stomp of 1982, which was my first time seeing the late, great Gamble Rogers perform, if you're familiar with him.
Absolutely.
He was from St. Augustine, Florida, and a wonderful rock on tour guitar player, folk singer, etc. He has a folk festival named after him that happens every year. And I had always done music and had always been interested in writing songs. I'd had a yearning to write songs, you know, oh gosh, since age 7. And it took a long time. I think I was 25 by the time I wrote a song that I really was proud of. But when I first started getting into digital recording, Pro Tools and that sort of thing, this is like 99. So I was able to really create music that was like really happening for me at a really high level of fidelity. And, sure. You know, I was sort of excited. I performed and sort of presented my music with my own name, Jason Hemanides, which kind of sometimes would get sort of shortened to my nickname, Hemo. And at that time, I was doing sort of, you know, kind of like Ben Folds-y kind of stuff, sure. You know, in my own voice. And that was great. But years later, this is 2012, I was like, you know, I want a new project that I'm sort of the main guy, the front man. But I don't want to just kind of go out into the world as Jason Hemanides. I need a nom de musique. I need an avatar. And Gamble Rogers sort of came into my mind, you know, being for me the kind of archetypal example of a wonderful raconteur. I mean, some of his material is his stories, and underlaid with his gorgeous guitar playing. I thought, okay, Gamble's a great name, first name, and then Cosmos hit me because it's open and it's kind of Greek and my dad's Greek and all that good stuff. So that was sort of where the name came from, and that was to me like a big revelation. I thought, wow, I love this name. But that then gave me the license to create this character so that when I'm on stage, I'm kind of in a persona a bit, and Gamble Cosmos, he sings in a Tallahassee accent. I wasn't previously singing in a sort of Southern accent, but it just kind of opened up things for me. I'll give you a Oscar Wilde quote: "Man is least himself in his own person. Give him a mask, and he'll tell you the truth." So I just needed a little bit of a mask.
Absolutely.
And that kind of opened things up for me. It opened up a whole world of possibilities.
You know, as a person that, you know, you're authentically national, but because you're here, you're one of our characters. You know, you are authentically Tallahassee. And being authentically Tallahassee and so multi-pronged in all of the arts, I have a question that I ask a lot on this programming, and I really want to ask you too, because you participate in so many different art forms. That question is very simple, and it's, what is art to you? What does it mean?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Oh, boy, what is art? Art for me is something that has, maybe this is too highfalutin, but a bit of a mythic resonance. I love dreams. I'm always taking notes of my dreams and looking at the patterns in my dreams. And I think that art kind of, maybe it comes from the subconscious or the unconscious of a person. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, obviously you take in all this inspiration, you take in your environment, the people around you, you know, this is your unique, every person's kind of a universe unto themselves, right? So you absorb these perceptions, they kind of come up through the roots of your being, and then the kind of crown, if you will, the leaves, the top of the tree, is this expression that sort of needs to reveal itself in some way. So I think maybe art is something that's got a sense of urgency, a sense of universal resonance or something. It's something that connects you to the past and to this human propensity.
Maybe I'm digging
to express.
Too,
I don't know.
Maybe I'm digging too deep here. But even your answer was Tallahassee when you started talking about
there
the trees
go.
And the leaves. Our live
oaks yes.
are the network that feed everything here, and so it is with art.
Absolutely. So you know, they take in the atmosphere, they take in the rain, they take in time,
sure.
And then
give it back.
Yeah, there you go. Give it back. That's right.
And so, you know, Jason, you have been an incredible guest. As we close this thing out, is there anything that you would like for us to know about you and any of the workings that you have going on?
Absolutely. So going back to the Tallahassee Film Festival, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to have at least one project premiered each year for the past 5 years, something I've been involved in. And hopefully in the future, at some point, a feature film that I co-wrote, scored musically, performed in, and collaborated upon with one of my best friends, actually a couple of my best friends from Tallahassee, who also went to the Florida State University Film School. His name is Neil Butler. In 1995, our intrepid gang of recent arts graduates from Florida State somehow got our hands on a 16-millimeter Aeroflex camera, and we shot a feature in and around Tallahassee in 1995 and 96. It's called Road to Nowhere, R-O-D-E, and it's kind of a sort of existential road movie about a group of, I guess you could say, sort of errant, like lost slacker actors who just sort of initially, just for the thrill of it or the experience of it, decide, even though they're not specifically religious, decide to go out and put on a revival, like a tent-style revival, traveling in a bus and going around to various locations and performing a revival. Anyhow, as a time capsule, I think it will blow you away. Like, for example, you know Cascades Park, obviously, mm-hmm. and the power station there.
Sure.
At one time, that was a Superfund site, like in 95, 96. It was not someplace that you would really want to go. But somehow, we actually went and shot in and around there, making it double as a sort of like a club. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's shots of this, of what we call now Cascades Park then, that I think will really blow people away. That's just one example. Tennessee Street at the time. Also Atlanta, New Orleans. We went to New Orleans. Sinkholes. So there's this, the Rattlesnake Roundup, the flea market, the Tallahassee Right. flea market in 95. And what's really powerful also too, the J.C. Casey Greyhound Racing Track. We got some amazing footage. There's a great sequence there. But you're looking at this world, this Tallahassee world, pre-cell phone. Again, last act of the analog world, pre-cell phones. Just the air of that time is really kind of inspiring. So I'm really excited about that project having a life now.
Love it.
Yeah, 30 years later. So,
Jason, in closing, I'll say that you have been an excellent guest.
It's been a pleasure, Josh. I've enjoyed it.
With a stage name like Gamble Cosmos, you're a man of the stars, which makes my closing perfect. And I'm going to make it a quote from your film. You say, the universe is a series of happenings and not things. And we are so glad that you happened to this place. Moreover than that, we are so glad that this place happened. And I am so glad that you tuned in to another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.